back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We continue to meet the 2017 inductees into the South Dakota Hall of Fame. Today, we welcome Jeff Broin, the founder and CEO of Poet. Poet is the largest producer of biofuels in the world, comprised of 28 plants in the U.S., producing 1.75 billion gallons of ethanol. He joins us on the phone from Sioux Falls. Jeff Broin, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
All right, let's talk about the South Dakota Hall of Fame first and how you sort of found out that you were being inducted and your fellow inductees.
Well, I was contacted by the South Dakota Hall of Fame, and they mentioned that I had been nominated and then also chosen for this year's group of very talented folks that are accompanying me. And, of course, I was very surprised and humbled, and I think you've seen the class with some great names and people in the group. So very, very surprised and humbled by being selected.
Do you have a sense of when you address the crowd, what sort of things do you really want to say?
Well, I think, I think that biofuels are a bit of a misunderstood thing in our country, part of that due to some pretty significant misinformation campaigns by our competition. But I think, just to educate about biofuels, how important they are, to help our environment, to help our GDP here in South Dakota and our country, but maybe most importantly, to help agriculture. Biofuels were really born at a time when commodity prices were exceptionally low and farmers were going out of business at record rates. My father built a small plant on our farm when I was a teenager, and that's how I learned about the business, and we later launched Poet. But he did that because the price of corn was well below the cost of production and there was no end in sight. So I think, that time was a very challenging time. The 80s became not only an ag recession and then eventually a recession for the entire country and then the world. We are now entering a very similar time. We have some of the highest surpluses of commodities in the history of the world. They are the highest in the history of the world. And there's no end in sight. They're increasing at very fast rates as well, and we're entering another very challenging time for agriculture. Once again, biofuels can be a very significant part of the answer. So I think that's what I'll be talking about.
Take me back to your time as a teenager, and tell me a little bit more about some of those early experiences of hardship, but then also success on the farm. What made you want to stay in ag?
Well, I think agriculture is a fantastic place to raise a family around agriculture and agricultural business, but that was part of it. But as well, I watched many of my neighbors go broke and leave their family farms during that time frame in the early 80s and mid-80s, and it was a very, very difficult time. My father was able to hang on, but barely, as many were. And I thought, biofuels really made sense. We had an underpriced product, which was corn, and the starch in the corn is what we use. We had a very low-priced raw material, and we could make it into a higher-value product, which was energy. And whenever you have a surplus of a product, you want to use that up and tighten up the market and make the price sustainable so the farmer could stay on the farm. And no question, over the last 30 years, we've watched ethanol and biofuels grow, and that tightened up the grain supply and, quite frankly, resulted in a pretty healthy ag economy for the last 30 years. Now, we stopped growing back in 2008 thanks to some of our own government policies that we're trying to correct, and it really got held up at 10% ethanol, and it weren't allowed to grow further, even though higher blends are awesome, an excellent thing for vehicles and the environment and the economy and everything else and the balance of trade, but we were really held up. And so that now is resulting in the commodity prices that we see today. I think some farmers understand the importance of biofuels. I think even some of them don't understand how important it was maybe to their bottom line in the last 30 years, but it was critical if you look at the data. And so that experience on the farm when I was a young man taught me that the solution to an ag crisis can be biofuels, and I think we're seeing the same thing today. We need to grow biofuels to help the American farmer, just as we did back in the 1980s. But that's going to require farmers to make some noise, get involved. Right now, farmers aren't speaking out about how bad it is. And I think they're starting to see us. We're going to have another record carry out this fall. We're going to have more low prices, even lower yet, probably. And I hope they're starting to realize they need to speak up and they need to tell their politicians and people they know that are not farmers that, hey, agriculture is in trouble and we need to make some changes and we need more biofuels.
In your mind, what's making the current situation be bad, as you say, right now? Is it federal policy? Is it environment? What's going on?
Well, what's happening with agriculture is yields continue to go up. You know, back in the 1920s, we grew 20 bushels of corn per acre. Today, we grow 170. So 170 bushels per acre, and it's increasing every single year. In addition, when grain prices were high, other countries around the world got very good at growing grain and commodities. You know, the agricultural capacity of the world is virtually untapped. Don't let anyone ever tell you that we're going to run out of food, because it's the biggest lie that you've ever been told. Quite frankly, there's an unbelievable capacity on the existing ag land on the planet Earth that's just flat underutilized. And the fact that the U.S. has gone from 70% of the world supply to 40% is proof of that, because new land wasn't necessarily tilled up. They just used the current land more efficiently and got much higher yields and used the second crop in South America, Argentina, Brazil, Ukraine, and we were able to produce a lot more commodity in the world. When prices are good, ag can produce a lot of volume on the acres that we have. And that's a good thing, because we can produce not only food, which we have way too much commodities for food, but we can produce food, fuel, and fiber, all three, from the surface of the earth, and quit drilling into the ground and pulling out products that are meant to stay there, namely oil, and replace it with products from the surface of the earth that are in sync with nature. So I think the story of biofuels is exciting. I think people don't know it very well, and I think this is a great opportunity to start educating. Again, a lot of myths have been put out there by our competition, who don't want to see us grow because they have to give up market share, which is very bad for their bottom line. People need to see that biofuels are a big answer to a lot of problems facing the country and the world today, including, you know, we're over fighting wars in oil country all the time. I mean, it solves a lot of problems.
What is some of that misinformation or myths, and some of your responses to them? Can you articulate, from an environmental and land management perspective, for example, some of the challenges that people say, you know, biofuels cause, and how you see it and the information you'd rather have out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are many myths out there. One being that we're somehow using food to make fuel. We only use the starch portion of the corn to make biofuels. The world is awash in starch. There is almost unlimited quantities of starch on the planet Earth, and then all the protein, oil, and micronutrients that we make gets consolidated into a nice compact package we can ship all over the world to feed animals and even people. And so actually using the starch is a smart thing. It creates more protein, so it lowers the price of fuel for the world, because it's corn that would have never been grown. My father was paid by the U.S. government to not grow corn back in the 1980s. He literally got paid to leave land idle, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, by the way. Why would you leave land set idle while you're using up an oil supply that's finite? Why wouldn't you use that land to make biofuels and then leave some of the oil in the ground, right, for later generations? So the fact that, and of course, just the unlimited amount of land on the planet, not only land that used to be in production on the planet Earth that we don't even need to tap, but the low productivity of the current land on the planet Earth. In Africa, we're producing about a fifth per acre what we can in most of the continent of Africa. That's enough to bury us in food, fuel, and fiber for the next 40 years. I mean, the agricultural capacity of the world is virtually untapped. And so to say that we're going to run out of food is simply asinine. And so that's one of the biggest ones. But there are numerous other ones that somehow ethanol is going to hurt your engine when it's actually better for your engine. It burns cooler. It burns cleaner. It gets rid of carbon deposits from petroleum. It's a better fuel. Look at E85 powered cars. They work fantastic for 150, 200,000 miles. I mean, there's lots of lies being put out there. It's bad for your small engines. There's another lie there. It's just all these lies are being perpetuated in many ways by the competition to stop biofuels from taking market share, so that they can charge you more for the oil when you go to the pump. I mean, that's what it's all about.
How fast is the industry changing, and how is POET poising itself to sort of, you know, lean into those changes and be the ones that innovate for the future?
Well, actually, we work exceptionally hard on that. In fact, we spend more on research and development than probably anyone in the industry. We have advanced the technology very rapidly to the point where this industry gets zero subsidies. We don't get any subsidies at all, and haven't for many years, or incentives. By the way, the oil industry still has subsidies, but we don't have any. They're 100 years old, and we're 30 years old, but we get none, and they get some because they're that politically powerful. But the industry, refresh my memory on the question again.
Innovation. Keep it growing.
Oh, what yeah, do you innovating.
Need to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are continuing to innovate all the time. We are moving forward with technology platforms around numerous things, not just in the starch-based ethanol space, but we're also now extracting corn oil from our process that becomes biodiesel. So we have biofuels as a byproduct of biofuels. Isn't that cool? So our corn oil now goes to biodiesel. So when you make ethanol, you get corn oil, and the corn oil goes to biodiesel. And the protein oil and some of the oil and micronutrients all go to food and feed. And then in addition, we're starting to produce some other industrial products I can't talk about yet that are really exciting. In addition, we're producing cellulosic ethanol. So POET has basically one of the first cellulosic ethanol plants on the planet that will use leaves, husks, and cobs. So basically the stover, the waste that's left on the ground, we take about 25% of that off the ground and use that to make biofuels as well, and then export energy from the cellulosic plant to the starch plant to eliminate the need for natural gas in that facility. So there's a lot going on. That's just a bit of it. We advance not only the starch process all the time and get lower cost production, we do the same in the cellulose arena now. We're, of course, many years behind, but we're learning there very quickly as well. And then we're creating more and more bioproducts from starch and oil as well. So what's going to happen in the future is refining, oil refining as you know it, is on its way out. Biorefining is on its way in. So I don't think people see that big picture yet, but that's what's happening. We already have biorefineries. The most integrated one is now in Emmitsburg, Iowa, where we integrate cellulosic and starch-based ethanol. But we also produce numerous byproducts and co-products from that plant that go into numerous other industries for different purposes. And that's the future. Those plants will make more and more products. We're going to continue getting higher yields with nowhere to go with those crops. We're going to have to take them into these biorefineries, and we're going to make them into all kinds of great things that are going to replace hydrocarbon-based products. They're going to clean up our environment. They're going to be better for our health. They're going to really change the world as we know it and make the world a better place that's in sync with nature rather than bringing products up from under the ground and getting out of sync with nature.
In a highly competitive industry such as yours, how do you create a culture that pushes innovation forward? Let's talk about the people of POET.
Well, it's all about the people. It's all about the people, and we work exceptionally hard to find great people and attract great people. And when they get here, we treat them very well. We have all kinds of neat things, from health programs to a large gym and health center here. We do all kinds of things to help them learn their families how to eat better. We teach nutrition, and we really try to provide a great environment for people, not just to learn about biofuels and the way it can change the world and be a part of that, but also how to better take care of their families and to get around some of the things you see out in the public that aren't so good for you. Most people are advertising to make money, not to help you be healthier. And so we're trying to help our people just have a better life and their families have a better life as well.
What do you need from a new farm bill? What do you think South Dakota farmers need from a new farm bill?
I think they need more biofuels production. Certainly the farm bill is there. You know, I don't think they're going to return to the $8 to $10 billion a year in subsidies that they got back in the 80s, which is what they're probably going to need in the next few years. But I don't think that the government's going to be able to afford that. That would be wonderful if that could help them. But I think what they need is more biofuels. They need to be pushing for. There's certain things we need right now. We need to read vapor pressure correction, technical correction, which should be simple, but we can't get it through thanks to our friends at the oil companies. That we need the vapor pressure collection. We need solid renewable volume obligation numbers in the RFS. We need a strong RFS, renewable fuel standard, to make sure this industry can continue to grow against an entrenched 100-year-old, extremely wealthy industry that's doing everything in their power to stop us. So I think farmers need more biofuels. It's the best solution. It's the market-based solution. It's something that people don't think about. When we subsidize commodities here, if we go back to that and ship them into other countries under our cost of production, we literally starve people in the third world and the developing world. I spend a lot of time in Africa. I've talked to their farmers. The worst thing America can do is subsidize commodities and ship them all over the world at $2 a bushel below their cost of production, which we did back in the 80s and also some in the 90s and some in the early 2000s. And basically, because developing nations are generally 75 to 85% farmers, we basically take the majority of their population, way more than the majority, and we make it so they can't make a profit. And you basically starve them. They then can't buy seed corn. They can't get even close to the yield they can get with purchased seed corn and fertilizers. So the yield dropped to about one-fifth of what they normally are, and they literally can't even feed their family on their acres. So it's called subsistence farming. I've been there. I've met the people that do it. I know how it works. And it's pretty unbelievable that we would decide to do that rather than go to more biofuels. But then the oil companies are strong, so we need to stand up politically. Farmers need to stand up politically. The farmer needs a higher percentage of the American gas tank. We have to take part of the gas tank away from the oil companies, or the future is going to be pretty rough in rural America.
A few years ago, you wanted to slow down. You took some time away. You don't sound like you're slowing down now. What's different? What did you find personally during, the time that you sort of stepped away and did some other things you bring back when you resumed your role as Poet CEO?
Well, the time away gave me an opportunity, I think, to actually go out and start a pretty neat nonprofit organization we call Seeds of Change. It allowed me to go meet these people around the world in Africa and other places and learn about agriculture. So it was a great time. But after a bit, I decided that I needed to get back in this game, especially after learning about worldwide agriculture and how important biofuels and bioproducts are going to be in the future. And so I stepped back in to, I kind of missed it, I guess, missed the challenge and missed the excitement. And so I may never retire now. I might be here till I'm 90. They might have to carry me out. It's an important mission, someone has to be in this game, and there are a lot of others as well in this game, and it's an important thing for the future of our planet, for our health, to get rid of these toxins in the air that come out of our tailpipes that are horrible for people and causing lots of problems, to get rid of, to help farmers to have sustainable income, to get rid of this reliance on foreign oil and countries that don't like us and want to do bad things to us. I mean, to help our economy and create jobs. I mean, there's so many things this industry does. It's really a blessing to be a part of it and really enjoy being part of it. And I think I figured that out while I was gone.
Hmm. Jeff Breuen is CEO of Poet. Come back and talk to us again, sir. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
He's being inducted into the 2017 class of the South Dakota Hall of Fame. You can find tickets at sdhalloffame.com. The honors ceremony is held in Chamberlain on September 8th and 9th. That's open to the public.